Wednesday afternoon, time for our bi-monthly conversation with MIBiz senior writer Mark Sanchez, Michigan's opioid crisis. You're focusing on how we got here and what is at stake.
Yeah, how did we get from there to here? And what is at stake is literally, it's a life and death issue. This week, we started what we call one of our deep dive series in MIBiz. In this case, we're looking at the opioid epidemic, the opioid crisis here in Michigan. It's obviously a nationwide crisis, but we're looking at it here in Michigan. Let's just put some numbers out there to kind of tell you how bad this is. In 2017, there were more than 2,000 deaths in Michigan of Michigan residents who died from the effects of opioids. They got addicted. And oftentimes, folks whose addiction continues, it starts with a legal prescription, perhaps after an injury or surgery. They get addicted, and it ultimately takes their lives. We've got some other data that Michigan ranked 11th nationwide in 2017 for opioid-related deaths. That's according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Between 2013 and 2017, there were 7,000 opioid-related deaths in the state. So it is a crisis. And somebody was citing to me the other day the statistics that show opioids were causing more deaths than car crashes in America. So it's an epidemic that really took hold here in the last decade. And what we do in this week's issue of MIBiz and what we intend to do over the next couple of editions is take a look at what's being done about it, from government laws and state government regulations to your care providers adjusting their practices and policies to how this affects employers and those folks who work with addicts and help them recover and overcome their addictions and how they're changing their practices and they're seeing more people coming in to get help.
Looking forward to hearing more about this in the coming weeks as you and I talk about what is taking place in our community when it comes to getting a handle on this opioid crisis. We'll stick with healthcare here. You have an article in MIBiz. As high-deductible health plans gain steam, more employers are demanding cost-shopping tools.
They see this as a way to make their employees better consumers of healthcare. We're in a high-deductible health plan age. Many employers over the last decade have gone to a high-deductible health plan. That means you and I and everybody pays a little bit more, and sometimes a lot more, out of our pocket for our healthcare, because we have to meet that deductible, and we also have higher copays. We're in a tight labor market. Unemployment is low, and it's going to stay low. So what's an employer to do? They want to keep people on the payroll and keep them around. If they start pushing more of those costs across the table, that's a risk of losing good people. So one of the things we're seeing now, and it's that time of year, it's open enrollment for 2020 for health plan renewals. One of the things the agents in talking to them here in the last couple of weeks have told me they're seeing is kind of employers want more, as you say, cost transparency tools, such as if I'm an employee and my doctor tells me, well, go get this MRI. Well, how much is that going to cost me, doc? Doctors generally can't tell you. They've just written the order and they'll generally write it to a facility. Go do it. Well, what employers want is the ability for employees to go online through a mobile app or their laptop and look up the price of that diagnostic test or medical procedure and shop around. Just like you go into a grocery store, you shop around. Just like when you make a big capital purchase, a car or whatever, you shop around for the best cost, the best quality, the best value you can get. We've not always had that in healthcare, but now we're seeing a bigger drive. This has been something that's been coming on for a number of years, but now the folks who are working in the field are telling me this is now a bigger drive this year. They're hearing it quite a bit in their conversations with employers as they renew health policies. The employers want more transparency on the cost, so they can help their employees become better shoppers and better consumers for healthcare.
We know that that doesn't work in every instance, though, correct? When emergencies arise, it's pretty hard to do the shopping.
Sure. If you're in the back of that ambulance unconscious, you're not going to be telling the medic in the ambulance, hey, I want this hospital over this hospital, obviously. So these tools are really built, and Priority Health has a very nice one. It's a cost estimator. They're really built for diagnostic tests and elective medical procedures. Obviously, in an emergency medical situation, you're not going to spend too much time shopping around.
But I am curious to know, what is being done in those emergency situations? I think it's well known within the industry there are certain procedures that only come with those emergencies, and how do you curb those costs?
That's one of the big questions in healthcare right now, air ambulances. are a real issue. But if you've been in a crash on the highway or if you collapse at work with a heart attack, there are protocols in place on where that ambulance crew is going to take you and get you to the nearest facility. Or if you're an equal distance, is there a facility that specializes? That's a little bit further than we went in this story, because really what these cost tools, these estimators, are really for elective diagnostic tests and medical procedures. If you have the ability to shop, you can shop. But again, for obvious reasons, that's not real effective in the emergency situations.
You're talking about shopping. Folks like to shop when they travel. Pure Michigan funding is at risk right now. Local tourism groups are advocating for maintaining the Pure Michigan funding as this budget battle goes on in Lansing.
Yeah, this is among the many things that got caught up in between this battle between Governor Whitmer and the Republicans controlling the legislature. For 2020, in the fiscal year for the state, Travel Michigan was to receive $37 million in funding for the Pure Michigan campaign. We've all seen and heard the ads with Tim Allen. They've been around for more than a decade. By some accounts, they're pretty effective in building this industry in Michigan and bringing more people into the state and more spending, more tax revenue. But in the budget battle, that funding has been cut. And right now, Travel Michigan is working with some money that will continue some efforts through the end of the year, through the end of this calendar year. And then we'll see what happens. Again, the folks in the industry love the campaign. They said it's been quite effective in helping promote the industry and bring in business to the state. But it's an area that's gotten caught up in between the battle in the legislature and between the governor.
Do you get a sense the full amount will be restored?
You know, that's always tough to say in these types of situations. There's been signs that the governor and the legislature will get together and work this out. There's some demand among the legislature, scale back her authority to veto certain things by the administrative board in Lansing. And she came out yesterday and said, well, we'll talk and negotiate, but that authority needs to stay with the governor. So you get these broader issues now entering the picture. Couldn't tell you on whether it'll come back or not come back. I will note that this has been a battle of contention for many years, the Pure Michigan funding. There are some voices who say the state shouldn't be involved in directly spending to promote an industry. There's the Mackinac Center up in Midland that questions the validity of the return on investment. Is it really generating that big of a return on investment?
What is your sense?
The best way I can answer that question, Patrick, is I don't know. I couldn't tell you. There is a lot of support for restoring it, but there's a lot of support for a lot of things when it comes down to the budget. And you never know exactly what the outcome you're going to get when you get into these types of talks and negotiations between the governor and the legislature.
MIBiz senior writer Mark Sanchez, thank you so much.
You're welcome.